sharp day, when the heat of a rolling wind can't be turned away, an enchanted moment, and it sees me through. It's enough for this restless warrior just to be with you.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Galactic Roundtable. This is Beth. I'm so happy to be here with you again tonight. I was just sitting here thinking about all the things I wanted to say, and as soon as I started talking, my mind went blank. 2 days ago, I shared an article called Full Galactic Disclosure, and it was explaining about how the, how zero point works, what the extensive pyramid system is that we have on this planet, and tidbits about that we didn't fully understand before. There aren't, three pyramids on the Giza Plateau within a 40-mile range, circular range. There's 22 pyramids there. That's just the tip of the iceberg. If you include all of the mounds in the world, there are millions of pyramids, and these are where the craft hover over the mound, which is built on an aquifer, and the electricity is coming up, and they recharge their batteries, and then they go on. And I did a compare and contrast with the Nikola Tesla tower that he built out on Long Island. He built it exactly the way the pyramids are built. It's how the energy is generated. So very soon we'll have free energy for all, and we won't pull up to the pump to fill up our tank. We'll pull up to the mound to recharge our battery. I don't even think they have batteries, but they'll give us the owner's manual when the time comes. So tonight what I would like to do is share an encore broadcast, and this was the interview that I had with Bob Charles. A lot of interesting things were brought out. It was a great discussion, and many of you were unable to listen because it was during the day. And so I'd like to play through that for you tonight. So I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you, everybody.
All rock, all day, on DC's number one online radio station at WBAD, The Bad Tomato.
Here on WBAD in Washington, DC.
But I'm going to fast forward to the interview. I just wanted to tell you, I forgot to say, in the morning, I'll be on Bob Charles again for 2 hours, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Time. It's at WBAD.com on internet radio. So please come join us in the morning. We'll be discussing the article that I wrote. And this has information about JFK and how he was wanting to have shared outer space experiences with the USSR. And 10 days after he made that suggestion, then he was assassinated 10 days later. And this was after a memo that he sent to NASA. So, we're doing that. Today, we have cooperation with all the countries on the International Space Station. So, We're going to go through all the history in the morning. I hope you enjoy it. Let's just jump a little, jump ahead here.
And from I Am University and Interplanetary Starseed School, our sisters and brothers of lights are assisting us with planetary and cosmic ascension. It is a time for us to know we are empowered ones and can heal ourselves. Each archangel has its own soul signature vibration. When Beth connects with galactics, she has the gift of the inner sight, seeing them with a third eye. The key is to dedicate self on the inner planes for spiritual service and ask for training for the masters in the sleep state. Some of her books, The Rainbow Bridge, Awaken the Girl Within, Lord Ashtar and the Galactic Federation, Stargate Earth, and more. May I please present to the nation, to the world, Elizabeth Trutman.
Greetings, everybody. Good morning, Bob.
Hey,
I'm so happy
Elizabeth.
To be here.
Oh, man, I tell you, we are so glad to have you here. There are so many things that I do. You know, we were just talking before we came on, and I'm thinking, it's going through my mind as I'm doing this. You know how you always get, like, the intuitive feeling? You know,
sure.
Like something is missing, you know? And I'm saying, it's going through my head, God, there's a million questions in that I could ask you. But we do have a telephone number for everybody else that's out there that wants to ask questions. That is 843-300-1399. Whoever gets through on this line gets through. We can only take one call at a time. So get your fingers going, man. Just warm them up and get them on that telephone. 843-300-1399. Elizabeth, the things that you do in channeling, Annette, it's very unique.
Well, I guess I'd like to start out by sharing something that isn't said very often, and that is that about 10 years ago, I had a massive head trauma, and I was unconscious for 3 days.
Oops.
And when I was unconscious, I became a walk-in. So I wasn't born into this body. And when I woke up from being unconscious, then I was fully telepathic with the angels and the ascended masters, and I wasn't before that.
Wow. You know, just to share a little bit, Annette, can you tell if a person you're connected to is or is not a walk-in?
When I'm doing a reading, I can ask, and then I can know. And usually if I'm doing a reading, I'm speaking with Sananda or someone else, and I will ask them, and they can give me all the information about the person. When I do my readings, the masters tell me about the person, and I'm able to convey it to them about past lives and other information about them. And as far as walk-ins go, one characteristic that's true for almost all walk-ins is that walk-ins know that they're walk-ins. They're not walking around. There's no walk-ins going around wondering if they're a walk-in or not.
They're not wondering, or they're just wandering?
Well, some people will say to me, am I a walk-in? And so normally when someone walks in, they find out right away, and they know with all certainty.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm asking that is because I had the same trauma like you did, similar to it. I was out a little bit longer, though, and had the NDE thing and everything else. And, you know, like everybody tells me that, no, you're not a walk-in. But, you know, when it was all done, I had a whole different look on life.
Yes. What happens sometimes is folks integrate in higher parts of themselves during that NDE period. So sometimes the traumatic injuries make it so that the person is able to integrate much higher levels of themselves, and they're able to connect higher, and that's what brings on this, you know, change of point of view of Earth.
Now here's the fun part of that. We are trying to vibrate ourselves at a higher level, where we're going into the ascended mode.
Right.
In a sense.
if this is the case, then we should be able to do the same thing as if a person, you should be actually able to walk out of your body and be somewhere else. You should be able to portal yourself to wherever you want to be.
This is two different things. So when a soul is a walk-in soul, what it means is there was a soul exchange. And these things happen when there is an agreement before the incarnation ever took place. So this was an actual soul exchange where the person's soul left. They had decided to end this lifetime, and then the new soul comes in. That's what a walk-in is. What you're talking about, you know, what you're describing sounds like when I go out of body. And a lot of people call this astral travel, and I disagree with that completely. This is going into the fifth dimensional body, which is the etheric body. And we have we've visualized this in photos as orbs. And we can go into our etheric body and travel anywhere.
By anywhere, that you mean in our own life, in our own past life, in our own future life, or intergalactic?
When someone goes into meditation, they can raise their level of meditation up to a point where they've learned how to raise the brain chemicals. And some people are trying to do this with DMT, which is a recreational drug. But when someone masters meditation, they can raise their brain chemicals to a moment where they can leave the crown chakra with their light body, you know, stay with the silver cord and go traveling out into the etheric. And when you get out there, you can literally go anywhere. You can land on another planet and explore what's there. You can see or visit anything. It's like you could be like time traveling. You can. This is how the jumpers do it. They go out there and they can find any point. And this is also how the I forgot what they call it, when people can visualize something, they can see something that happened presently or in the past. This is how they do it as well.
Well, they do that. They actually do that in past life regression. You can actually do that and go back and see where your soul came from and travel with your soul to another time that was before in another life.
Yeah, it's such a great experience.
Yeah, I haven't had it yet, but I know Michael, Mike Williams, Annette, who has a show on Wednesday nights, Annette, on here. He's just sitting there. He's like cracking his nail, knuckles. You know, like guys do that, and he's going, I will get you. So I know that somehow or another that he's planning it out right now as we're talking. I know it. Let me see. Susan Sacco is on the chat box. And she also said it could be an aspect of your higher self or God self.
I think she's talking about when you have some people have near-death experiences, and when they come out of it, they're changed.
Yeah, well, she's absolutely correct, because she just said that tell us about the Christ consciousness experience.
I wish she was coming on, you know, speaking, so I could hone in on what the Christ consciousness experience is. A universe of information, and I'm not sure, you know, how to go with that.
She can do that. All she's got to do is just dial at 843-300-1399. Susan, by the way, and if anybody's listening right now, Annette, that's the songs that I play, Mesmerize. I do Summertime by her. It comes on the show all the time that she's singing, so she is the singer of those songs, and she's one heck of a nice lady.
It's so nice to hear from you, Susan. I hope you call in. I wanted to say something about exploring past lives.
Please.
Exploring past lives can be extremely valuable because it can give us information about the patterns that we have in this lifetime that we're dealing with that really we'd like to clear. They're not the, you know, and so when people explore past lives, there may be a trauma or something that happened in the past that has been brought into this life that when we have a better understanding of the past life, we're able to let go of those negative things that we no longer wish to hold on to. And another thing is, folks will get into a reading and they'll say, I want to know what my past lives are. And oftentimes the masters will say, well, we could tell you the names, but you wouldn't know the names. It's not very valuable. So sometimes people are putting too much value on, you know, wondering if they were Cleopatra or George Washington or something. Not everybody has that in their history. But it is interesting to know if someone has spent time at Lemuria or if someone has spent time in Atlantis, because that can point to their personality and their thread, their life stream of what they've been working on. And, you know, I asked me last week and tell me, beyond a doubt, you know, that they were Ashtar's twin flame. And, you know, so some folks get caught up in this past life idea. And I think it has less value than some, than it is. It's not, it's much more important to understand this life and connect with our energy in this life.
I have a caller on the phone for you.
Wonderful.
Who's calling? Susan?
It's Susan
Sacco.
Thank you for calling.
I knew that number.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Elizabeth. I'm so happy to talk to you in person versus Facebook.
There you go. Now.
You know, I resonate with all the information that you brought forth and your Rainbow Bridge book. I thought that was amazing. And, you know, I'm a seeker, so I explore in a lot of different areas, but everything that you bring forth just seems to speak truth to me. You know, I've been searching for the last 2 years, almost coming up on this Easter. Back in Easter, over Easter of 2012, I had like a life-changing experience, and I'm still trying to, you know, put the pieces of the puzzle together. I had just gotten into meditation. I was doing it heavily on a daily basis for a few months. But, you know, a lot of people do meditation, and they never have the kind of experience I had. I mean, I literally was at 5 a.m., the light started flickering. I heard, like, this kind of a whirring sound. Next thing I knew, I had the brightest flash of light in my third eye area. Like, you know, floodlights couldn't have been that bright, which I knew immediately what it was. But and I saw a prism that was handed to me with brilliant colors, and then immediately thereafter, a man who I believe I've come to find was Yeshua, or, you know, cosmically known as Sananda, who was presenting me with the gold, and, like, the gift of gold. And it scared the hell out of me, I gotta be honest. I mean, I never thought this kind of stuff would happen. but, you know, since that time, I am forever changed, because with that came along healing abilities that I didn't even know that I possessed, and the energy coming through my hands on the onset of being reintroduced, because I know it's about remembering, you know, being reintroduced to those abilities that maybe I had from past lives, or that was just being brought forth from my higher self. Maybe you can elaborate on that more, were really intense. So I became like an empath, where I was able to pick up on what was going on in the other person, whether it was, you know, dizziness and nausea from my husband's heart, or, you know, weight on my chest due to my dad's, you know, moderate emphysema. I mean, it was amazing. So I'm just, you know, and ever since that happened, my life has changed a lot. You know, it's just like night and day. And, you know, now I'm on this path of, you know, what's my mission and all that.
Sure. This is what happens. This is universal for everybody. So folks get frustrated when they're meditating and they say, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. At a certain moment, the person has done the inner work, and then what you received was a kind of an attunement where these energy activations happen spontaneously when God decides it's that moment that you've done that inner work. It will come through, and you can't stop it, and this happens to everybody. So that's why it's important to stay with the meditation, stay, you know, working on dissolving ego. Eventually, some life-altering experience will come along. It happens to every one of us. And it also helps when a person's asking constantly every day, asking their guides, this is what I'd like to experience. Help me with this. Show me how to do this. So you had an attunement at that moment. And like you said, you had these abilities, but they hadn't been activated. And Sananda came to you and activated those things.
And the energy of Sananda was like from a sci-fi movie, you know? I mean, it was almost like my hand when I'm on my husband's heart was almost like a defibrillator, you know? It was like the intensity was incredible. But, you know, what happened was that was a short window. And then it kind of, you know, eased up a little bit. I still have it. It's still there, but it's not the intensity that it was, you know, when Sananda was, you know, like right over me, you know, and channeling that through me. So I know that I'm just an instrument, you know. I realize it's not me doing the healing, and I never take the responsibility for that.
Right.
So you're confirming that it was Sananda, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. He's there for each one of us. All of us that are here listening and tuned in to this vibration are working with Sananda, absolutely. And when these occurrences happen, they're so vibrant that you can recall it 20 years later and it'll feel like
yesterday. My God. It never leaves my mind. It's as clear as day. Absolutely.
And this isn't something that's special for a few people. Everybody should know that you are able to tune into this energy and call this to you as long as you're continuing to do the work.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened, Elizabeth? As you know, there's a lot of channelers out there. And I have to be honest, I got a little bit broadsided by listening to other people's channelings instead of doing the meditative work. And I recognized several months ago that I had to change that and go back to what it was I was doing and going within and not always listening to what other people are supposedly channeling or bringing forth. So
I agree. I see a lot of people struggle with that. And I would say that for me, when I read other channels, it's for to confirm what I've been receiving in my own work, to see.
Right.
Over the years, I noticed that when the archangels, the ascended masters, have a message for this group, they'll bring the same message through 3 or 4 or 5 different channels. And within a 2-week period, everything you read all says the same thing.
Yes.
That's when you know it's a good channel. That's what to go to look for in a channel. There's a lot. There's several channels out there writing fantasy.
Yeah. And I felt a little victim to that for a little while. But, I'm a nonconformist all the way. And when I see that people say things and they don't come through once, twice, 3 times, you're out, you know?
Right. How much do you? Right. It's like reading the funny pages, the cartoons. It's just entertaining and that's it. What I find a better choice is sometimes when wanting to explore more knowledge is to go back to the ancient texts.
Well, my question is, and I'm very into that, and I have a very, very strong past life in Egypt, and I've been to Egypt a couple of times in this lifetime, not consciously understanding why so badly needed to go there until now that I'm awakened. You know, now I understand more. But I guess my question is, is there something that I need to do other than the meditative work to be able to continue moving forward with those healings? Or is it never going to be as pronounced as when Sananda was literally, you know, by my side?
As long as you keep working with folks and helping with healings, it can even just be in your own family or your friends, you're going to continue to become better and better at it. And as far as being on the spiritual path for anybody, the way we receive the higher knowledge, we have our local mind and we have universal mind. And channels who are good are tapping into universal mind and bringing those messages through from the beyond. And so what happens is just like God can attune you to have your healing abilities, God can also attune you to have more knowledge. And that's what we're going for. So a good practice besides doing yoga and meditating and other things folks like to do is to go back to the ancient texts and read what our galactic ancestors wrote and left behind for us. The book of Enoch.
When you say the ancient texts, would you have a recommendation?
The book of Enoch, the Emerald Tablets. They introduce all of these books on ancient aliens. You know, when they're doing a presentation on the TV show Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, they'll say it was written in this text, and there are certain ones. You know, and these are the past lives of Sananda, for an example.
Like the Book of the Dead.
The Book of the Dead. What I found out, and I didn't know until recently, is the Book of the Dead means when you don't have a body or in other words, consciousness. The Book of the Dead tells a person how to deal with their consciousness. So, for an example, the Buddhists believe that when they leave their body behind, when they pass on, their consciousness always stays intact through all time and all places, no matter what body it comes to next.
Mm-hmm.
So the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the Tibetan Book of the Dead explain to us about our Christ consciousness.
And all of us do come in at a different level of consciousness, correct? I mean, we're all evolving at different levels.
Each one of us is on a different part of the path.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, how do you know? So it doesn't necessarily mean that you are part of the Ashtar Command in your sleep state if you have this experience. It's just because you're doing the inner work.
I would say that the vast majority of listeners that are listening, if not all the listeners, are a part of the Ashtar Command, whether they remember it right now or not. Those who are incarnate and alive on Earth right now, who came for Earth's ascension, are already ascended masters and a part of the Ashtar Command.
Right. Okay. Because I don't know if there's a difference between that and being a starseed.
A starseed simply means that a person did not come from Earth. They came from somewhere else, and that's true for everybody on Earth, too. Everybody.
So you can be a starseed and a member of the Ashtar Command.
Yes, both and.
Well, I can't wait for the second coming for Jesus to come off that UFO, baby. I can't wait. And thank you so much for all your input.
Well,
thank
you,
Susan, for your beautiful music and everything that you've added today. I really appreciate it.
I love you.
Love you, dear.
All right,
okay.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Now, Beth, there is a caller that has been calling multiple times all during your conversation. I just called her back and on my cell phone, and I said, as soon as the other caller hangs up, I'm going to call you back.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Hello.
Hello, this is Louise calling.
Hi, Louise. How you doing? I'm sorry I had to call you back on another phone or that to allow you to come in.
Okay.
Hi, Louise.
All right. Who's first?
Go ahead. Hi, Louise. It's really good to hear from you this morning.
Hi, Elizabeth. Me too. First of all, I wanted to share that last evening I was with a group of people and we were in a meditation to handle some things. And during this meditation, the reptilians came forward and asked for healing love from us. My group and I went forward with the reptilian and we sent healing love to the reptilian.
That is fantastic. I'm so excited to hear that.
Yeah, it was really powerful. I had a praying mantis gentleman on the phone as well as some very other powerful people. We had already done some work together where we freed a mantis being and we created an EVP. So we knew that they could come to us. It was kind of spooky at first for me, because I was the one that they came to, but then I held it, I just didn't love, because they just wanted free.
Fantastic. fantastic. Just so I can comment and clarify for some folks, when we're talking about the reptilians, it's like as if you unzippered your human suit, what would you see underneath? And these folks come from Dracos and other places, and these reptilians are raised in their families, and a lot of times they are, since from birth, they are tortured by their parents. And they grow up and they can be very cold, and they can be involved with torture themselves and torturing others. And they get into business deals and other things. These are usually very affluent people. Some of them go into government work. And now we're at the end of time. And so it's very beautiful. It's extremely rare when a reptilian is able to come forward and say, please heal me. I'm ready to go on at Earth and I don't want to leave. And the war crimes and the atrocities that have been happening on Earth oftentimes are come through these reptilians. So we have to have the deepest compassion. And the healing work that you're doing, Louise, is fantastic. So I know that's why, you know, they would seek out you for this.
May I ask a question here for a second? Ladies,
sure.
From both of you. I thought reptilians didn't actually show themselves to anyone.
I'll answer by saying that someone will request a healing, someone will request a reading from me, and we'll get on Skype together, and as soon as they start talking, then I can see who I'm talking to.
Wow.
And so they tell me their struggles that they're dealing with and what they want help with, or they ask questions from Sananda, and I'm someone who, you know, can see their true form, and so they are able to get really good answers that are helpful to them because, like Louise said, it can be very daunting to come into that energy. But for me, I feel very comfortable with that, and I'm sure Louise does too.
Wow, that's the first time, Louise, that's the first time I ever heard that one, as a matter of fact, on this show.
Well, they also were in my friend's house, and you were most uncomfortable with them, so they stood out help, and I helped them, and we kicked them from the house. Cleared them from the house. We were doing some other things where some other people are in trouble. Anyway, they stepped forward and they just, look, you're helping them. We're here for help too. I said, all right, then. We'll help you. We will help you. So I requested a moon from my Shiva lingam, from Shiva, to release them and clear and cleanse them and to love them free. Not only them, the whole entire race.
Right.
As you free one, all are affected because it is a consciousness. It is a hive consciousness. Once one is affected, they all can be.
Wow, is that true, Elizabeth?
It's true. It's true, but it's a multi-layered answer. If we got into the nitty-gritty of what that definition means, there would be more information and more exacting information. And I have these ones call me. I've had ones call me who were involved with the Ultra K program in the UK. I've had ladies call me who were tortured their entire lives by these ones. And I've talked to dragons, pterodactyls, and different ones on the phone. And they come into a moment where they realize they want to change. They want to come back to love. And that's all that's needed. All they need to do is ask, and they can come back to love even now, you know? So this is a great thing because we want as many souls as possible to go on to New Earth, and all that's necessary is to make a commitment to being love.
You still there, Louise?
I am.
Okay.
I'm so excited. Here's one thing I wanted to ask you for clarification on and understanding. Is the Malaysian air flight?
Sure. What happened with the Malaysian air flight? The reason I haven't posted posted anything on it yet is because what I'm going to say next is my opinion based on my life experience. I won't post something unless I've heard it directly from the King of Swords. And he has not put out an official explanation of what has happened. And so I won't put anything into writing until I've heard it directly from him first. And we haven't gotten that yet. The other reason I haven't posted anything is because the Dark Cabal has turned this into a false flag operation, and they have a fake story on the front cover of the news every single day. I have the greatest compassion for the 200 and something family members who are grieving those lost souls. And in their mind, they're lost souls, and that's very real. And so we have to think of them first, of course. On the other hand, planes crash all the time. And so to have this on the news constantly, it's just turned it into a false flag. So when we tune into that, we're making a false flag bigger. So I haven't posted anything because I don't want to be a part of that. So the ones who are running the show are a little bit in shock because that plane was beamed onto a mothership. And I know that sounds far-fetched, but this has happened probably four other times in the last 5 years. And folks have, and I know the airliners and the flight numbers, but it's in my research somewhere, and I would have to go look, and I haven't taken the time. But if someone were to Google, missing plane, those would be the ones in the last few years. And King of Swords did come back to say those planes had been taken onto large crafts. And the reason was because someone was on the flight who was trying to escape and who needed to be put in prison. And so they nipped it in the bud and they took that plane in. And so I know this has happened and been confirmed by King of Swords four times in the last 5 years. So I'm assuming that happened with this plane. And so every single time that happened before, and this also includes the four flights from 9/11, the four flights from 9/11 landed in Canada and went into underground hangars immediately. And all those folks from the missing airliners have been put into witness protection, and they will be back, and they have not passed on, and they are alive, and they will tell their stories. So I'm assuming if it's true, it's been true for these other flights before, those people are in witness protection. They're safe. Everything's fine. The only sad part is they can't talk to their families right now. When I get a confirmation from King of Swords, I'll post about it.
So that's the same, more or less. That's the same thing as regular witness protection. You can't know anybody you knew in a past life. You can't call anybody. You can't talk to anybody that knows where you were or who you were.
That's right. The difference is when we have the enactment of Nasara law and when we have disclosure, they will be let out of witness protection. They won't no longer need to be in witness protection because anyone who could hurt them, who has that information, will be gone.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll be able to return to their families then. And it's coming up very soon.
Do we have that? Louise, you still there?
I am, and I thank you for this.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for the question, Louise, and thanks for your work. It's great.
Thank you. You as well. Namaste.
Namaste.
Now, my question was that when it came to stuff like that, you mentioned the World Trade Center.
Right.
And that the same thing. Is this like that somebody just came by and just took the planes? I know the people out there that are listening right now that have the same question going through their mind in it that I got. I mean, it was like, is this an event where someone is helping us, or is this us taking planes from ourselves?
Imagine that you are an air traffic controller standing at JFK Tower on September 11th, 2001, and you can see those blips on the screen, right?
Okay.
The plane is flying. The air traffic controller can see what they're doing. In the meantime, you're looking across the Hudson Bay and the towers are on fire. And you're standing there and you're pondering, what in the world is happening? My mother worked at JFK for 10 years when I was a kid in school. And so when I watched the second plane go in, if you want to call it that, we'll loosely say that, I knew that that had to be terrorists, because there's no disabled plane would be in that airspace, because planes are not allowed to fly there, period. No, they're not even allowed to get close to those buildings. It had to be someone driving into the building. Anyways, this plot was planned out by Ford, Cheney, and Rumsfeld back when Ford was in office, and Cheney and Rumsfeld were the Secretary of Defense and Chief of Staff in the White House. They planted those explosions. They planted those bombs in the joints of the building as it was being built. This was a plan by Henry Kissinger that was masterminded by them, and they held on to it until they were ready to put a mass psychological attack down on the world for some purpose that would come up in the future. This was planned for a very long time. So when Cheney went to 50 rooms below the White House into the bunker, he was driving a missile into those World Trade Centers. And that had the hologram technology was being beamed onto the missile to make it look like a plane. And we have captured this on film. It's all over YouTube. We can see that it's, you know, a missile with a projection on it. And so when the air traffic controller in JFK is watching the blips, what happened was the blips took off and they flew, they overflew Manhattan and they landed in Canada. And this is why Stephen Harper is going to be called out for war crimes, because he went along with this plan. And they hid those planes and those people went into witness protection. Nothing ever crash landed in Pennsylvania. Those people landed safely in Canada, and they were put into witness protection, and they will be back.
You know, the only thing that I can't believe about Pennsylvania, there was just a big hole. No park, no plane, no nothing, just a big hole.
It's the same thing as the Pentagon. Once the missile hit the Pentagon,
right.
It wasn't a big hole. It was a small hole and no plane debris.
I have been saying that for I don't know how long. I've said to people that were in Washington when this happened, believe it or not, they've emailed me and they said, well, you know, the plane that went into the building and everything. I said, go look at the pictures, the actual pictures that were taken the actual day or within an hour, I guess, of it happening, and the firemen were there and everything else. If you look up the one side of the wall where the hole is that went into the building, there is a coffee cup and one of these pencil cups on the edge of a desk sitting at the edge of the floor.
Right.
So, okay, if a plane's going to go through there with wings, I don't think there would have been any desk sitting there with a cup of coffee on it and a thing of pencils. I mean, come on, happen.
The jet fuel would have caught everything on fire.
Of course, certainly.
Everything would have melted, and those people wouldn't have walked out the hole and said, you know, April Gallup took Cheney and Rumsfeld and Richard Myers, Joint Chiefs of Staff, to court to say it was an act of treason because the military attacked the most secure building in the world.
And while they're doing all this stuff, another question that I did put out to the people that who emailed me, I said to them, I said, did anybody see the fuselage coming out of the building, or a motor coming out of the building, or, you know, the landing gear coming out of the building? No? How come?
Right. And I want to say, you know, I grew up on Long Island. I graduated Long Beach High School in 1984. I have stood on top of the World Trade Centers as a little girl and looked out. And I understand the New Yorker perspective on this. And they suffered the psychological attack the most. And so we have to ask a question. Why would they do this? Why would they do this? You know, 80,000 people died that day. Every time someone says to me 3,000 people died that day, I say to them, have you ever stood in the lobby of one of the World Trade Centers at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday? Wait, 80,000 people died that day. And they took away the evidence immediately in large trucks. And that's a crime scene they should have never built over it. So we have to ask ourselves, why would they do that? Why did Bush, Cheney, Kissinger have this plan in place. On the morning of 9/11/2001, they were getting ready to enact Nasara law, and it has taken us 13 years to get back to this moment where we're ready to do it again. They were trying to stop the enactment of Nasara law, and they did. They put it off for 13 years.
And yeah, they're still putting it off.
No, we're right on the verge of this happening now.
Really?
We are, yes.
And do you think anybody's going to come across with all this information?
Do I think someone's going to come across with all this information?
Yeah.
That someone is me.
Well, okay. Well, you have the information. Okay. Do you think anybody from the other side is going to talk?
What I feel is happening is I feel that in the month of March, we're going to see some of the big arrests that we've been waiting for. And it will be very shocking because that's when the truth is finally going to start to come out about what's really been happening. You know, there are things, when we talk about disclosure, for an example, and we want to understand how they've kept the truth from us for 65, 70 years, we would have to go back and understand things about President Kennedy, for example, that we've never been told before. Well, there are truths about every character who's playing a prominent role that we know nothing about. And those truths will start to come out, and a lot of people are going to feel cheated or unhappy that this was allowed to go on. So this is going to be we need to prepare as a collective consciousness that it's a time for healing now. We're going to forgive and move on. We're going to go into a great new world.
You know, while you were talking that, the chat box, of course, is moving. And Beth had said that she also, she's from Long Beach, as you know, but she was also living in New York City during 9/11. I also have someone sitting right behind me in this newsroom that saw the people walking past her, gray, that were covered in dust.
Yeah.
She was right there.
It's so stunning. And the other thing that will happen is we're going to start to learn more about, you know, the chemicals that were let out of those nuclear weapons that morning and how it's affected everyone. They've tried to cover it up. And to go back to the air traffic controller at JFK, mm-hmm. What we don't know is that the very next morning, the men in black showed up at their office and they gave them an invitation to join a new agency, which we will call Homeland Security. And they didn't really have a choice if they wanted to join or not. And so now all the air traffic controllers are also a part of Homeland Security, and it started the next morning.
I actually know one of those officers.
So this is an elaborate cover-up that is getting ready to be healed, effective almost immediately. And this will happen with disclosure. You know, we're preparing for the congressional hearings now.
I just got an email on that too. And that what is the connection between the Vatican and these disclosures?
Sure, the Vatican Bank is partners with the Bank of Madrid, so Spain has a piece of this too. These two very large banks have been money laundering for years to keep the activities of the dark cabal going, and this is also tied in with the Crown in the UK. You know, the Queen of England, as it were, owns the vast majority of land. She owns the most land in every country around the globe. And these land grabs and the deed titles to these lands are held in these banks. So between owning the land and laundering the money, that's what Vatican Bank has to do with all of this. And that's why, when we're seeing the reports in the newspapers about, you know, the Pope is changing the administration at Vatican Bank and all that, that's just a cover-up story. What's really happening is the White Knights have gone in and taken over Vatican Bank, and we're getting ready to open the Bank of Saint Germain.
No way.
We're going to have war reparations for all the war crimes.
Yeah, we had Karen Hooties was on, and mm-hmm. she was at one time a counselor for the World Bank.
Right.
And she also said the same exact thing that you're talking about right now. Very, very close to it anyway.
Because I got my information from King of Swords. And I would I can't speak for Karen, that here I would level a guess that her information comes from the same source. And this is the real truth of what's going to be happening.
So...
Hi, everybody. I accidentally pressed the wrong button and took us off the air. I'm so tired. I apologize. It had nothing to do with BBS. Yeah, that was really good stuff, wasn't it? So if that was a repeat for you, I apologize. And anyways, I'm going to wrap it up there for tonight. If you have the time and you're able to, tomorrow, 10 Eastern to 12 noon Eastern, I will be on the Bob Charles Show again. It's WBAD, W-B-A-D. It's internet radio in Washington, D.C. Just put it into Google. You're going to find me. I'll post it on Facebook. I hope you have a wonderful night, everybody. I'm going to play us out. Peace. Happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.